Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The SEC's five most important August outcomes. That list has been whittled. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. And talked a little bit yesterday about the quarterback openings, and we know where quarterbacks stand. They're the answer to every question. Who's the most critical, even if your quarterback, if you are measuring your starting QB versus the other starting quarterbacks in a division conference, teams on your schedule, whomever, and he is about a B-minus or a C-plus, he's still the most indispensable, most important, most impactful, everything. So, whatever. So, any team that doesn't have a starting quarterback named, who then starts getting like 75% of the reps or 80% of the starting reps, well, that is one of the most important August outcomes. And this is what we were discussing yesterday, is Missouri has a starter now. Eli has named Brady Cook as the starting quarterback. He's a big, strong, like NFL-looking while he stands there with a football in his hands, like 6'3", 215, 220. It's a kid from St. Louis, private academy in St. Louis. And then there's Tyler Macon, who's from East St. Louis, who is a smaller and more athletic quarterback and very different guys, but both three-star kids from the St. Louis area or around, whatever. And then you had Jack Abraham, who was on his sixth program, and so he didn't win the job. And I don't know what becomes Jack Abraham, but it looks like he won't get the job, at least at the start of the season. So Eli's got his guy, and so as of August 10th, yesterday, Eli's like, ready to roll. 75% of the snaps in practice go to Brady Cook. The next 15 to 20%, now he's got to make a decision. Are we going to have one offense? Because if he has one offense, it's Jack Abraham, because they kind of do the same thing. If he wants a changeup, if he wants a curveball for the defense, a relief pitcher, then it may be Tyler Macon. But somebody's getting like 15% of those snaps, 20% of the snaps. And then the third team guy gets, I'm not kidding, like five or six, not percentage, like five or six snaps, plays at the end of practice, maybe. And then other stuff. But as far as first team reps, yeah, they're way limited. And so that's why you name a starter. So with that decided, because there were five of these jobs that were open, and this is what I'm talking about. Let me look around the conference and see what we don't know at really big-time programs that we're going to pay attention to and decide, you know, all right, they could win a national championship or the division or something. Let's go to Tuscaloosa. What don't we know about Alabama? Hey, who's going to emerge opposite Jermaine Burton? Okay, it's a fair enough question. Now, I don't have any fretting to do about that. Now, understand, this is a perfect example. I can't tell you the answer, but I'm not necessarily concerned about the answer. It'll be somebody really good. It'll be one of the, like, nine candidates who, oh, okay, now he's John Mechie. Or the kid from Louisville, oh, he's Jameson Williams now, which if he's Jameson Williams, bully for Nick Saban. But, see, that's a question. And who emerges up? What did Nick Saban say and a bunch of other people have at least brought up? Hey, if Mechie and Jameson Williams weren't injured, maybe we win the national championship. That's the short version. I want to get into the backlash. I'm throwing that out there. That tells you that even a source so well-placed as Nick Saban will look at a wide receiver at Alabama and go, that kid could have decided the national champion. That's how important wide receivers are at Alabama. Could have decided the national championship. Now, it was incumbent on another kid to step up and make his play, but whatever. That's Nick Saban putting it into perspective, and anybody else who's mentioned it. The starting quarterback at Missouri will have more to do with determining how the SEC season goes, and if how the SEC season goes determines what? How the national championship can decide how the national championship goes? Eli Drinkwitz saying Brady Cook will be the starting quarterback for the Missouri Tigers, that will impact the 2022 SEC season more than whoever emerges at wide receiver. It won't be JoJo Earl, by the way. He got hurt. Than whoever emerges opposite Jermaine Burton. That's just the truth. Because how can that be true, Chuck? Missouri's going to win about six games. All right, I'll roll with you. I think maybe they're like a seven-win team, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But let's say you're right. They're a six-win team. Great. They're 500. How can the starting quarterback at Missouri be more important than a guy who Nick Saban said, yeah, if he would have been healthy, then maybe we win the national championship? Okay. Because the starting quarterback at Missouri, if you make the right choice, do you know what can happen on one random Saturday? They go into Athens and they beat Georgia. And then Georgia, you look up at the math and go, wait a minute, how do we not go to the SEC title? Oh, the Missouri game. It can happen if you make the right choice at quarterback. And I saw that happen, actually, back in 2013, maybe, or 13. And so if you make the right choice, well, that's it. A program like Missouri, if you make the wrong choice at quarterback, do you know what you eliminate any chance of? Rolling into Athens and getting the dub. Do you know the trickle-down effect that you have to look and say, all right, well, I'll say this begets this, which in football is tough to do. But if you have the right quarterback, if Eli made the correct choice, then maybe you duke it out with Kentucky for 60 minutes. If he made the wrong choice and it's four turnovers in the first half and you're buried and Kentucky gets to rest everybody for a quarter and a half, well, maybe they're fresher and they beat Georgia the next. I'm saying, folks, this stuff is real. Houston Nutt, I'll give him credit. When he was head coach of Arkansas, remember what everybody said? Hey, they may not beat you, but you'll remember you played them. They were a tough, hard, physical team. There were squads that would go out to Fayetteville, play Arkansas, win. And then next month, they just weren't right. They weren't fresh. They couldn't hit the same way. It was a tough physical. So it matters. It really does. So Missouri's one of those, and Brady Cook's going to start. And again, he's big pocket-looking, stand there, deliver the ball downfield. What they're hoping is to replace Beatty's rushing yards. I don't know how you're going to do that. That's whatever. But we talked about that. So Missouri is squared away. What about the four others? Because I'm saying Georgia's squared away, Florida, Vanderbilt. I mean, Mike Wright was at SEC Media Days. Dan, what percentage of people listening right now do I need to tell them who Mike Wright is? It's not their fault. Like 90?
Yes,
five,
please. Yes.
Eight?
Yes.
Yeah. Mike Wright is the starting quarterback at Vanderbilt. He was at Media Days. It's not your fault you don't know him. You're not supposed
there
to.
There might be even people in our own industry who don't know who he
there
is.
There might be people in Nashville who go to Vanderbilt who sit next to Mike Wright in calculus. Oh, you play football? Mike Wright is going to be the starter. He's kind of fun. South Carolina, you know that, squared away. Tennessee, that better be squared away. Kentucky, I don't know. If you're going to be the eighth overall pick, I assume you start. I say Alabama, Mississippi State, and Arkansas have decided they're starting quarterbacks. Okay, that leaves five. Missouri, whoosh, draw a line through them. So no matter what is going on in Tuscaloosa about the off receiver or the tight end or the right tackle job or anything, which of the four guys over the center, you know, wins the job? Doesn't matter. As important, because Bama's stakes are a national championship, so everything there is more important. The starting quarterback at Missouri is more important. It really is to the season in the SEC because they make the right choice, landmine. If you want to bounce around the rest of the open jobs, Ole Miss, I can't tell you anything. Lane Kiffin won't tell you anything. Now, I said Lane Kiffin won't tell you anything. I'm not trying to put a sinister spin on that. He may not have anything he can tell you either. But, and here's, Dan, catch me. I keep wanting to throw an extra vowel into Luke Altmaier's name. I keep wanting to, you know, kind of southern it out, stretch it. Altmaier. It's Luke Altmaier. I don't think Lane knows right now. Altmaier and Jackson Dart. He keeps going back to they both do really some things really well. They both have their individual strengths. They got a scrimmage coming up too this weekend. I don't know, 8 practices in now maybe? And you're out there again today, and then you have a scrimmage Saturday, I think, for Ole Miss, if I'm remembering correctly. And so after that, you know what you need after that? You need an opinion. And Lane is not, I believe, playing dodgeball with his words. I don't think that he's trying to skirt the issue. I really don't think Lane knows right now. After Saturday, and by the way, when I say you need to have an idea, Lane, what I'm saying is one of those kids needs to have done enough good stuff so that Lane can have an idea. This is not a shortcoming on the head coach. It's two kids, neither of whom have even wedged themselves ahead, much less hammerlock. Goodness. So there's nothing to tell you about Ole Miss right now. Monday, I anticipate there being. Dan, Richard Cross, Monday, please. There are two schools that there is news, and it's interesting news on one of the campuses. When I say interesting, interesting how? I had no advanced knowledge. I just thought that the profile, let's say, of the Auburn quarterback depth chart, it was prone to opportunity. And I looked at a kid like Robbie Ashford and thought, you know, a kid as athletic and competitive. Remember, he played in the All-American football game, high school football game. He played in the baseball game too. It was the Under Armour. Yeah. Under Armour All-American football game, Under Armour All-American baseball game. Unbelievable talent. Hadn't played quarterback in almost 3 seasons. Robbie Ashford has been getting reps with the ones. TJ Finley had kind of staked that out. I think it was just a matter of someone has to do it, and he has played most recently, and he was here for spring. All right, so you start camp as the one. TJ Finley, I don't think he plays fast enough to be an effective starter in the SEC. I think Calzada at least gives you a chance to stand in the pocket and just hum it. Like, rip it a second before the receiver opens if he makes that read and the anticipation. I think that he gives you a chance to do what you're supposed to do. I don't know that Finley does. I said Robbie Ashford is the one to let's watch. The true freshman, the recruit, that's a little much for him. But I said at least Robbie Ashford, there's some blue sky there, and it looks like Robbie Ashford is taking more reps with the ones. Now, that is a long, 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 long way from starting for a team in the Southeastern Conference. But that's where Robbie Ashford is today. Do with it what you will. Dan, let's have Jason Caldwell on Monday or JG. Miles Brennan has not had a stellar camp so far. And you can see all manner of opinions that, because LSU is one of the other jobs where campuses where the job is open. Miles Brennan, you can see opinions along the lines of what I just said, hadn't been stellar so far for the first, like, 9 practices, 8 practices, hadn't been stellar. You can find an opinion, and this is a quote, by the way, somebody covers the team every single day, quote, it would be a miracle if Brennan wins the job at this point. Dan, get Moscone on Monday. So that was Matt Moscone who said that, by the way. So those are the other locales in the Southeastern Conference where I don't know who the quarterback is now. And Texas A&M. We will talk to Mark Passwaters in today's show. Rivals. So we're going to cover all of these. Missouri, draw a line through them. It's decided. Auburn, Robbie Ashford, there's at least some news. He's taking reps with the ones. LSU, there is some report that Miles Brennan having a really tough go the past week and a half. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin's like, got nothing for you. Really wish I could. Really. And by the way, do we understand how truthful he's being? Lane Kiffin, do you know what he would love to say? Hey, Altmaier came out, put a stranglehold on the thing. Jackson Dart, this is why we brought him in. This is what we saw on tape. Love the kid. Boy, this is his team. It's his locker room. He would love that. He can't say that right now. Texas A&M, again, that competition is unfolding. I have found myself, and I'm going to ask Mark this when we have him on, I have found myself, my default is Haynes King. Boy, the possibilities, Haynes King. Max Johnson has played a good amount of football in the SEC already, and that kid is talented and experienced, knows what he's doing out there. So that is an unbelievable option that, again, I have just sort of started to displace in my mind, and I don't know if that's a mistake. So we'll talk to Mark Passwaters again, but we're going to take a break, come back, more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Nine states, 56 sticks is what we do. Talking college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody getting here. Sort of a Hail Mary, born of greed, but sort of a Hail Mary for a part of the game that has almost disappeared. I'm talking about the really important neutral site game. And when I say really important, I'm talking about what is now Power Five, and we meet in the middle virtually every year at this place we've been going to for decades, or at least since we rejoined the conference. And there's not many of them. Used to be, I mean, you couldn't, you know, shake a tree and you'd have neutral site games falling out of it. But now you've got, and but you know, I say the Hail Mary is Kirby Smart opening his mouth and saying, "I want to recruit." Because Georgia and Florida, we have neutral site game in Jacksonville every year. All right, gentlemen's agreement, no recruiting. That's their agreement. That's not the NCAA. But there's OU in Texas at the state fair, which I have tasked Dan with. I saw deep fried pumpkin pie. I want to go to the state fair. And then A&M and Arkansas playing. There's a couple, like Army-Navy, but that even bounces around. So if you can recruit on site, Kirby may say we will preserve one of the very few remaining neutral site games. I want to welcome on right now. I'm going to call him a good friend of the program and a guy who knows all about Texas A&M and that neutral site thing they do from Rivals. It is Mark Passwaters. Mark, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Chuck?
Neutral site in Dallas. How long Aggies and Hogs been doing that regular?
They've been doing it now 15 years, I think.
What is the idea going forward? Does everybody like it?
No, everybody hates it.
Oh.
So it's going to be gone in 2024. A&M especially can't stand it. When Ross Bjork came in as the AD, one of the first things he said was, "I'm going to talk to the Cotton Bowl. I'm going to talk to Jerry Jones. This is ending." And they've got this year, 2023, 2024, and that's it.
Well, how have they handled the recruiting on it?
Basically, whoever the home team is gets to recruit. So in this year, it'll be A&M gets to recruit.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, because the gentleman's agreement down in Jacksonville, it almost cost them the game. Kirby's like, "I want it back on campus." I was talking before you got on. Let's get into this. Max Johnson, I keep forgetting about him because of the intrigue of Haynes King. What is the latest with the quarterbacks?
They're rotating with the ones every day. Haynes was the guy yesterday. I'm going up to practice this afternoon. and I expect to see Max with the first team today. There hasn't been a decision yet. I'll be honest, though, from what we've seen, and it's been fairly limited except for an open practice on Sunday, Kings looked better. He definitely looked better on Sunday. But then again, he also had the first team. And Max didn't have a whole lot to work with, but it definitely seemed like the timing was better. King's accuracy was better. And he does bring that element of being able to run the ball. So, you know, if I had to guess right now, if they, you know, gun to my head, I would say King would start. But then again, I'm also the same guy who said Jameel Showers was going to start in 2012. And, well, that was slightly inaccurate.
No, I think he started in 13 for the minors, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So you might have gotten that one right. Let me ask you real quick, Nia Smith, y'all squared away legally and such?
Yeah, basically those charges have basically been dropped. It's really unfortunate because when you see a headline that
weapons, drugs, it was awful.
Yeah, weapons, drugs, DWI, the whole thing. Okay, well, he wasn't drunk, so the weapons charge immediately goes away with that. And apparently it wasn't his drugs. So, you know, basically the guy had his reputation run through the mud for 48 to 72 hours because he was doing a 51 and a 35. And, that's unfortunate. And, you know, it's like I've talked to some people before. He's going to have to answer for this for a long time. And let's face it, the unpleasant questions that he's going to have to answer aren't going to come from guys like me in the media. It's going to come from NFL general managers when he sits down with them in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, what were you thinking, buddy? Yeah. And it's going to hurt him.
Last thing, we got like 30 seconds. Explain how Devin Achane, 5'9", about 180, he averaged more yards per carry after contact than Isaiah Spiller. And Isaiah Spiller looks like he's carved out iron.
Lower leg strength. Remember, you're talking about a guy that runs track in the offseason, runs track very well in the offseason, and when people decide to go low on him, it's a mistake. He can run right through you.
And maybe as fast as any running back in college football, too.
Oh, safe bet. Safe bet.
Yeah, he's like a 10-2, 10-3. Like, go run track in Japan sort of fast. Mark, I always appreciate the insight, brother. Thank you so much.
No problem, Chuck. Take care.
All right, Mark Passwaters from Rivals. Yeah, Devin Achane, he may be the fastest running back, but just because I said UTEP. That's where Jameel Showers, who lost the job to Johnny Manziel, he transferred to UTEP so he could play football. And maybe he was an engineering major, but he went there to play football. Maybe there is a running back at New Mexico State or Eastern Washington. Devin Achane is like Texas State sprint champ fast. And he's a running back, not a corner, or not even a wide receiver, although he's kind of been a little bit of a receiver. But he is a tough, 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 strong kid. And when you get more after contact than Spiller, as they say, that's not nothing.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I do not know who KJ Jefferson grew up rooting for, but I suspect he's always had some sort of affinity for the Hogs. He's from Mississippi, but he's up there like towards the corner, so I don't know. Maybe he was a Hogs fan. He had an interesting quote that really, it sounds like, if he didn't grow up an Arkansas fan, he's really taken to his environment over the past few seasons of being on campus there in Fayetteville. Quote, in previous years, Arkansas was always slept on and were still dirt under a rug. Folks, if you are trying to pretend and pose and project as if you are offended and you're, quote, playing the disrespect card, it doesn't come off like that. That comes off as somebody looking around going, uh-huh, middle finger, every one of you. Like, he's that guy who wants to look at the, all right, who in here had our back? You know, that's personal, man. That's absolutely what that is. That is a quote from starting quarterback. I was talking about how there are still now 4 jobs in the SEC that are up for grabs. The job in Fayetteville is not one of them. It is KJ Jefferson. Want to welcome on right now a guy that we always love, straight from Fayetteville. Want to welcome on right now. It is Andrew Hutchinson. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Doing all right. From Best of Arkansas Sports, get him on Twitter at Best of AR Sports. Let's talk about KJ Jefferson and his quote. Do you know who he grew up rooting for? Because that is a really personal quote. I loved it.
I don't know who he grew up rooting for, but I also think that he's always had that kind of chip on his shoulder. I mean, he's from a small town in Mississippi. He was a guy that he was a 4-star recruit, but it wasn't until late in the process that he got bumped up to that 4-star rating. And so he kind of probably feels a little bit disrespected. And I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think he was recruited very hard by either of the Mississippi schools. So I think that's just kind of his nature, and it's just been that way since he's been at Arkansas. I mean, last offseason, there was a national writer or whatever that ranked the 14 SEC quarterbacks and put KJ Jefferson at number 14. And I think that really fueled him going into last season, and I think he's just using that again to fuel him going into this year.
Well, it's funny because I know that we've talked about this regularly, but I was told off, you know, not off the record, off air, hey, if KJ just doesn't work out, you know, this Malik Hornsby kid, boy, he's special. Well, KJ has worked out to the point that Malik Hornsby has a chance to be special at not just quarterback. Is that the case, or is it, no, he's not even going to be a QB anymore?
No, he's still the backup quarterback. And, I mean, I actually just published a depth chart today on bestofarkansassports.com, and I've got Malik as the number 2 quarterback because
okay.
He's still taking those number 2 quarterback snaps. He's just also getting some reps as a wide receiver with the first team. And I think that's just because the coaching staff feels like he's such a good athlete that they need to find a way to get him on the field, find a way to get the ball in his hands, because good things can happen. And honestly, I feel like he's improved as a passer in the last year or so, because that was probably where he struggled with the most last year, was accuracy. And obviously this was just a 5-minute period in a 2-hour practice in, you know, one of
sure.
however many practices they have. But he looked a lot sharper whenever I was seeing him over this weekend. And I think that's just a side effect of Kendall Briles. I mean, this guy must just really be good at coaching quarterbacks, because the first quarterback he had was a guy named Felipe Franks, who came in and broke a 41-year-old school record for single-season completion percentage. And then last year, KJ Jefferson goes out and posts the second-best completion percentage in school history. And now it looks like Malik Hornsby is getting better as a passer. So long answer to say, I think Malik Hornsby is still going to be a quarterback, while also, you know, adding some wide receiver, you know, specialty type stuff to his bag of tricks as well.
All right. You know, JUCO or whoever coaches can say whatever they want to. But I remember Rakeem Board, I was told, like, Adrian Peterson, Eric Dickerson. I was like, all right, I'll watch. And I never really became that. But I got impressed with this other kid, Traylon Smith. And now he's gone, too. And he could have come back. He's leading rusher. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here. You talk about a crowded room. I think there are 4 kids coming back who played, like 3 real options if Dominique's there. You got 2 freshmen, a transfer who came in. There's no shortage. Sort out the options in the backfield.
Yeah, I think they have 4 guys, assuming Dominique Johnson is healthy, 4 guys that they feel really confident in. And honestly, you know, Traylon Smith led the running backs in rushing last year, but he kind of fell off down the stretch. I mean, Dominique Johnson took over as a starter Rocket Sanders is back as a sophomore. He was the number two guy all year last year as a true freshman, and it was his first year playing running back. I mean, he was recruited as a wide receiver and got moved to running back. So he's more familiar with the position now. He's looking like the starter right now, and I think he has a chance to be really, really good. Now, will he be a 1,000-yard rusher? I'm not ready to say that because all these other guys are so good, they're also going to get carries. And I just don't know if Rocket's going to get enough carries to be a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, especially with KJ being the running threat he is. So you've got, you know, Rocket's probably number one. A guy that I really like is who's kind of my dark horse pick to be the number two running back is Rashad DeBinion, a true freshman, four-star guy out of Georgia. This is a guy that was really highly recruited, really, really talented, and I just really like what I've seen from him. Now, he's still struggling with the things you usually expect to see running backs struggle with as a freshman, you know, pass protection. I saw him in practice the other day just get repeatedly whipped in a drill against linebackers, and kind of reminded me, like, okay, yeah, he's still a freshman. But running the ball-wise, got really good vision, really good. He can cut on a dime. Really good. And then they've still got A.J. Green coming back as a sophomore that got a little bit of work last year, showed some flashes, had a couple of big touchdowns against Texas and Texas A&M. So it's a guy that played in big games, not just, you know, the non-conference games against no-name teams. That's a lot of guys. You know, and then Dominic Johnson, you know, bigger back that averaged almost 6 yards a carry last year, kind of out of nowhere. So a lot of options there, and one reason why I think Arkansas is going to be once again one of the best rushing teams in not only the SEC, but probably in the country.
All right, you mentioned KJ, and I mean, my goodness, he can be as productive a running quarterback as you find in the SEC, but tell me how, because we've all seen different kinds, and I'm going to go back just a little bit here. Like Johnny Manziel, he was about quickness and cutting more than, you know, anything else. Cam Newton was like this giant Godzilla foot right in your chest. He'd just step over you. He'd go, you know, like monster truck over you. What makes KJ such an effective runner? Because he was pushing 700 yards last year.
KJ is more along the lines of the Cam Newton style running quarterback. He's a big guy. He's like 240, 245, but he's still fast. I mean, he's got good speed. Is he going to be as fast as a Johnny Manziel or like a, you know, blast from the past Matt Jones at Arkansas back in the early 2000s? Yeah. Probably not, but he's fast enough and he's elusive and he's not afraid to lower his shoulder and just run through you. So that is a little bit scary because it tends to lead to injuries more often than not. But I think that's why he's such a good runner is he's also just really smart. He's got a good football IQ in my opinion. So, throw all that together. That's the reason he ran for nearly 700 yards last year.
I'm trying to think that I haven't even seen anything in pads. I don't think yet out of Arkansas. When do they have a scrimmage? When do they have a first scrimmage?
Yeah. So today is the first day in full pads. They were in shoulder pads the last, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday and Tuesday. But they will be in full pads today, and the first scrimmage is Saturday. And that's kind of been the day that some of the coaches we've talked to have said, okay, that's going to be the first kind of where we really learn something and like start kind of forming a real depth chart. I mean, I've got one out right now, but it's subject to change, you know, over the next couple of weeks as they start, you know, going through real full pad practices and scrimmages and things like that.
What up with Hudson Henry?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, he's a guy that was highly regarded coming out of school. People remember his brother, Hunter Henry, and he just hasn't quite lived up to the hype. He's dealt with injuries. I really think that's what the problem has been with him. And now they've got other guys in front of them that are really good. I mean, Trey Knox, I think, is a NFL caliber tight end. And I think that's one reason, too. So he also, on the first day of practice, had some asthma issues and, you know, wasn't able to finish practice, out of condition, things like that. But I'm not completely giving up on hope on him, but I'm also like, okay, Trey Knox is going to be the dude at tight end this year.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, you know, when Colt McCoy's brother comes along at Texas, everybody's like, all right, you have to be just as good. And so if it literally was anybody else, you know, a freshman, redshirt, I wouldn't have even asked about him. But because of the last name, you're like, oh, yeah, what's up with that kid? It really is an interesting dynamic what we do to these kids when they first enter a program. Andrew, appreciate you coming on today, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Again, Andrew Hutchinson, bestofarkansassports.com. Yeah. And Hunter Henry. Wasn't Hunter Henry on the 4th and 20? Yeah, threw it backwards, and Alex Collins did his thing. So he's practiced some. He's a big-time in-state recruit, and there's just not that many of them. Like, if Darren McFadden had a cousin, or Darren McFadden the two, eventually, when could that happen? Darren McFadden was in the 2008 draft, I think. And so we could have Darren McFadden the two, kind of sort of on the way maybe. I don't know if that kid could play football or not, at Arkansas or not, start or not, dominate or not, certainly not go to – do we know that Darren McFadden was a Heisman finalist twice? My goodness. Hey, why is that kid 16? Well, because he's a freshman. Now, sometimes you set yourself up for it. Vinny Testaverde's kid went to Miami and wore number 14 as a quarterback. You got to read the room, man. That's why everybody looks over and says, why isn't he playing? Oh, he's no good. No, he was a freshman. He got tired of hearing it, so he left. But that's what it is with Hudson Henry. Again, just not a lot of huge recruits in state, so you certainly pay attention to him, especially a guy with that last name. We break. We come back. Rapid Power 1 next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
But now a tight end is really three things. A tight end does that sometimes. A tight end flexes out and plays like a wide receiver sometimes. A tight end is in the off-the-ball position, and he does a lot of things an old-fashioned fullback used to do.
One of the more difficult things to do for a bigger player is to hit a linebacker on the move. That's Nick Saban talking about the various challenges for a player that we look at and go, hey, he's a tight end. Yes, the tight end used to be kind of it was a stationary sort of, I don't want to use that word. The job description was sort of fixed. You are on the thigh and hip of the right tackle, sometimes the left tackle. That's kind of it. Then when we decided the fullback was ridiculous, and the fullback is kind of ridiculous. I've mentioned this before, folks. Why did it take, 100 years for one person to say, hey, suitcases, put wheels on them? But why? Decades and decades and decades and decades. Why did it finally take someone to go fullback? What does the fullback do most of the time? Well, he runs into a defender and tries to block him. Well, isn't it a more effective way of blocking the guy to then just take the fullback out of the game, make him a receiver and flex him out wide? He'll take a defender way out there with him. Now, it also is a further, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say degradation. That's not the right word. It is a further expansion of the game, let's say away from physicality, running between the tackles, and that does come back to haunt you because at some point, no matter how well you are through the air or even with a controlled passing game, you look around at the clock and you're like, all right, we got to run this thing out. I'd like to keep the clock moving. Saw the Giants win a Super Bowl. 32nd in the NFL in rushing. So it's gone all the way over there. But that used to be what the tight end was. And so when you took the fullback out initially, do you know who really was the one of the first to say, fullback, that's silly? He only slightly improved it. Do you know the name Joe Gibbs? Do you think people still know Joe Gibbs? Head coach for Washington for two stints, but I think two-time Super Bowl champion. And he would go with two tight ends, or he would go with what he called an H-back. And that was sort of the bigger motion tight end, but not really a pass catcher. What Nick Saban is saying is the first thing I said, the sixth offensive lineman, the blocker. The second thing I said when Joe Gibbs was like, well, let's make him a little more athletic, but just he's still a bigger, bulkier guy, but we're going to call him an H-back. That he's not a fullback or a halfback or a quarterback or anything. He's an H-back. So we're going to run him in motion, kind of skip him in motion, but he's a big – and he can line up and put his hand on the ground if you want to, but he can kind of do some different things alignment-wise. What Nick Saban added there, well, that's the kick in the pants. That's the – let's put him in the slot. Or sometimes out near the numbers if you want to, depending on who he is, but let's put him in the slot. Let's actually put him in a spot where a wide receiver – can line up and just send him screaming down the seam, man. I've told you, given it's not as much as when he's, but you get a guy a little exposed when you line him up in the slot and that's where he is when the ball is snapped. At least I can get an angle on him. But a tight end who is athletic enough to do that, I've said, and I asked Chris Landry about this, double a wide receiver. I will draw up 15 ways right now, and they're all easy to understand. You've got to go execute them, but they're all easy to understand, and you'll know what to do. And you can adjust a motion or trips or whatever it is you want to do. Easy. 15 different ways to do it. Doubling a tight end? Tell me more. Like, which tight end? What are they like doing with him? Who do I have? Do you know how standard a lot of coverage is to double a wide receiver? For a tight end, again, you could the X's and O's can look the same, but I really need to know something or I'm at a bad disadvantage. And then there's Kirby, who he does have tight ends that can do all of those wide receiver things. I've seen A'Ree Gilbert in person. He's a tight end. He runs like a receiver. No, that's not A'Ree Gilbert. I've said Calvin Johnson. He's not Calvin Johnson, folks. But Calvin Johnson, do you remember? Like, nobody ever looked at Calvin Johnson and said he's a big wide receiver. They said he's a wide receiver, and wow, look at that size. He was always receiver first. I think that's A'Ree Gilbert. He just comes in a package like that. Brock Bowers, he made plays in the SEC title game. He sure made a play in the national championship game. And when he gets a pat, he is gone. When he catches it, when he's able to squeeze it, he turns around, gets headed towards the goal line. Better have an angle on him. Straight line, anybody who should have been assigned to him is probably not going to catch him. And they have more options, by the way. That Darnell Washington, who can block out the sun, he got one reception in the national championship game. I think it was a recruiting reception. And they can do all kinds of things with Darnell as well. And then there's a kid, Oscar Delp. So that's what Kirby's trying to do. Nick Saban, he has a receiving option in – he has a freshman coming in. The kid out of Florida. Is it not Amari. He has an athletic freshman they love. He has Latu, who has been a receiving option, more of a red zone short yardage thing. He's trying to expand his options to match what that guy across the conference did to me, even in a beatdown. He had some success with it in Atlanta, and then in the national championship game, it was one of the ways they had success, and it led to the title. That's what Nick Saban is talking about tight end. He's like, so yeah, he can be the sixth lineman, but my gosh, are y'all watching what folks are doing with tight ends now? and we are trying to expand that as well. Dan, how are you?
You know, I think that not enough credit goes to Nick Saban for exactly what you just talked about right there. The fact of the matter is he's being asked about how a certain offensive position is played. And for the longest time, he was thought of as being what? A guy that really wanted very stifling, really good defense, physical, get after you. We're going to run the football. Throwing the football? Hell, in the national championship game with Greg McElroy, we only did it 9 times. Yep. So we did it as about as old school as you could possibly do it. Now it's the complete opposite. He made a conscious decision back in 2014 to go with Lane Kiffin and said, switch up my offense. Make this thing look like the way that it's looking right now against the other teams that we're playing. Because for the most part, when I've got a guy like Johnny Manziel on the other sideline, I'm having a tough time beating that guy. When I'm having a Nick Marshall in a running attack coming at me like Auburn is bringing at me, I'm having a tougher time with teams like that. LSU in 2019 in certain situations. They switched it up because of how Nick Saban coaches his football teams now. We've seen a lot of different coaches. I mean, for the longest time, I shudder to even bring up the name, but Les Miles. For the longest time, it was, Les, you got to switch up your offense. You got to switch up your offense. Nah, we're not going to do it. All right, well, then you're going to find your way out of coaching for other reasons than the reasons that we came to find out this past offseason. But it was seriously one of the most aggravating things with him for the longest time of, oh, my gosh, you have all of this talent, and you're just not even giving yourself any opportunity to use it.
Yeah, and it was the toss dive became the embodiment of the frustration with that offense, and that was a weird looking play, and I never understood the added risk of you know, not just handing it off, but it sort of became the embodiment of that whole thing, that it was trying to win 3 yards at a first and 10, second and 7, third and 4, fourth and 1. Hey, I bet we can convert fourth and 1. It really was mystifying, because when you talk about that amount of talent, it was at least on par with virtually every team that they ever played on a particular Saturday and didn't win that day. The talent was at least as good.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.